Okay, I'm wondering if you have ever wanted a superpower. Anybody wanted a superpower? Go ahead and raise your hand if you've ever wanted a superpower. That's a lot of people wanting a superpower. What's wrong with you? Aren't you satisfied with what you already had? No, it's okay. I've wanted a superpower too, and I'll share that in just a little bit. So if you've never thought about having a superpower, I'm going to give you a moment to think about that for just a bit. Some of you might need some inspiration. So help me out. What's a superpower? So here's a couple of trending superpowers I've been told. One is elemental control. So that's the ability to like to control your environment, including like the weather. Who would like that? Environmental control. And then there's telepathy, which is the ability to read and control minds. That's a little scary, but some people might want that one. Then there's telekinesis, which is the ability to move things around with your mind. Anybody want that? A tractor trailer out of your way or something like that when you're, then there's time travel. How many of you would like to have some time travel? Go back in time, go forward in time. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. There's super speed, going really, really, really fast. There's invulnerability, the superpower of being invulnerable. Oh, Beverly would like that one. Okay, it's good to know. There's flight. Being able to fly. Who would like to fly? Yeah, I think that would be a fun one too, which is why I got a drone, so I don't have to, but okay. And then there's invisibility. So sometimes, especially when I'm up in front of a large group of people, I would like that superpower. So invisibility. Okay, so I've given you some time to think about maybe a superpower that you would like. If you can, just turn to somebody and share with them what superpower you would like and why. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to do this. Go ahead, just turn to somebody. This is the superpower I would like, and here's why. For those of you who are joining us online, just go ahead and put it in the chat. What's the superpower you would like and why? Okay. That's great. So I once said that I wish that I had this superpower, and this is the superpower I named. It was the superpower of being able to do everything infinitely better than I normally do it. That was the superpower I said I wanted. And so some of my family members picked up on that, and they thought that was really cool and that I probably really needed it. And so, my birthday or Christmas or just some kind of a random occasion, they got me a T-shirt, like Infinity Man, yeah. So I don't wear this very often because, maybe a little prideful, but Infinity Man. So thanks, fam. That was awesome. So, now, not because I want another T-shirt or anything, but I actually do have another superpower that I want even more than being Infinity Man. And what's really cool about this particular superpower is that I might already possess it, at least in some measure. In fact, you might have an element of this superpower, too. And I'm calling this the superpower of perspective. Superpower of perspective. Now, the reason I say that I might already have this is because sometimes Beverly will actually call me, not Infinity Man, but calls me Perspective Man. And it's kind of cool. It sometimes happens when we're out walking, and she's describing to me her outlook on a particular situation, which to her feels discouraging or frustrating or both. So when Perspective Man is firing on all eight cylinders, he will listen to her, he You will empathize with her and then offer other ways of looking at the same situation, which helps to give her some hope and encouragement. When prospective man gets it right, she might say something like, "Thanks, prospective man. That's a really good reminder. I'm so glad we're married." Like, what superpower could be better than that, right? So, but prospective man doesn't always get it right. Because sometimes I actually don't listen carefully. Sometimes I try to fix feelings with facts. And sometimes I get defensive because I'm the one frustrating her. So this prospective man is still very much a work in progress. Now, Beverly is not the only one who needs a shift in perspective every now and then. I certainly do, and I'm guessing most of us do occasionally. This week, those of us that are going through Alpha, we were talking about how and why to pray. And we agreed at the end of the discussion that talking and listening to God helps us to gain a better perspective. God's Word, also reading God's Word, helps us gain a much needed perspective. So, for instance, I remember struggling for a long time with anger and hatred toward an individual because of how badly he was hurting me. And during that particular time, I read Luke 6, beginning with verse 27, where Jesus says this: "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish the others would do to you, do so to them." Now, because what that person was doing to me was a form of abuse, I literally began applying Jesus' teaching here in this text by praying for him. And I'll admit that I was very tempted to pray prayers of destruction upon him because of the ways in which he was hurting me. But I knew that that was not my right, and I knew that that's not the way that Jesus wanted me to pray for him. Instead, Jesus was inviting me to pray for his blessings, which I did for 30 straight days. And I've shared this before. Amazingly, during that time period, nothing changed about his behavior toward me. But something very significant changed or shifted within me. I got a change in perspective. For the first several days, I had to force myself to pray for something nice for him. It was really hard coming up with anything nice to pray. But by the end of the second week, I was praying blessings, but sheerly out of obedience. Certainly not from a place of love or compassion. Sometime around day 20 or day 21, God's love broke through my hardened heart. And for the rest of the month, I found myself praying for his good with sincerity and with genuine love. Right? God's word gave me the perspective I needed to begin praying blessings upon him. And God's Spirit gave me the perspective that I needed to pray with the right attitude. So let's be super clear. I am not prospective man. God is prospective man. and he's awesome. So God wants to give us his perspective in every situation, and he will, as we ask and listen to obey him in prayer and reading his word, the Bible. So I'm just wondering, is there something specific that you're struggling with today? Maybe a relationship or a frustration or just some discouragement. So it's just a gentle reminder to talk to God about it. Search out what God's word has to say about it and let him give you his perspective on the situation. The Bible is loaded with verses that provide helpful perspective on specific situations, like mine, struggling with hatred and bitterness. There are also verses that help us maintain a godly perspective every day throughout life. And sometimes we call these verses, we call them life verses. Some of you have heard of this before. Others of you, maybe this is something new. According to one source, a life verse is simply a verse from the Bible that speaks to you in a very specific way. And in a very special way. It seems as if it was put in God's word just for you. And there's usually a reason why it resonates with your soul and spirit, and you probably have a story connected to it. A lot of people have life verses, and maybe some of you have a life verse that you just keep going back to because of its significance in your life. So I'm excited to let you know that we're starting a brand new sermon series this summer called God's Passions, Life Verses, and Principles. And so throughout the summer, the rest of the summer, several different members of our church will be speaking on a verse, a passage, or a passion of theirs from the Bible that's particularly meaningful to them. Some weeks we'll be in the New Testament, some in the Old Testament. Some weeks we'll be in both. And this is going to be a great time, I think, for us as a church to learn from God's word and from one another. And I'm looking forward to hearing from our summer preachers, getting to know them better as they share with us verses from the Bible that have meant a lot to them, and then being able to process together what we hear. So that's my long-winded introduction to the message this morning. So let's just pray. So God, we are so, so, so thankful that no matter what our situation is, there's one way to look at it, and then there's your way of looking at it. And we pray that increasingly you would help us to see people and situations from your perspective. Because that's the right way to see things, always. So God, teach us, help us to grow so that we're not responding in a way that just seems natural or right, but we're responding in a way that honors you and others around us. So we love you, we praise you, teach us, lead us by your Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, I get to share with you one of my life verses, and then I'm going to give us some time to talk about it together in small groups, because we want to be a church that not only seeks to hear the Word of God, but apply it, do it, put it into action, and we need one another sometimes to help us to do that. So the life verse that I'm going to share with you that's meant a lot to me is right out of Acts 20, verse 24, where the Apostle Paul wrote this: I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. It's one of my life verses, Acts 20, verse 24. You might wonder, so how did this become my life verse? Well, it's not a particularly interesting story. One day, I was reading Acts 20, and I came across verse 24, and I thought to myself, I really resonate with this. I like this verse. I'm going to adopt this verse as my life verse. And it's been so helpful to me for a long time in so many different situations. So that's the story. That's how it happened. It's not particularly interesting. Let me just read it again. I'm going to put it in a little bit of context. I'm going to explain a little bit further why it's significant to me, and then we're going to talk about it in small groups. Acts 20, 24. I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the Apostle Paul said these words as he was nearing the end of his third missionary trip before reaching Jerusalem, where he knew trouble was awaiting him. So he made this stop near Ephesus in Miletus, where he asked the church leaders from Ephesus to meet with him for what he anticipated would be his final time with them. So as far as he was aware, this was going to be the last time he was going to see these people that he had a very tight relationship with. And so I'm going to put verse 24 in a little bit of context. I'm going to pick it up in verse 22, Acts 20, verse 22. And now, Paul wrote, "Behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit," so compelled by the Holy Spirit, "not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." And then he writes this. "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul's perspective here reminds me of the story of a friend of mine that he told when he got back from a country that he had been visiting, a missionary friend of his. And in this particular country, there was fighting going on. There was a civil war. And he was in the city, and there was it was brutal in this particular city he was in. One day, the missionary that he was visiting and my friend, they were scheduled to go somewhere. I don't remember the details. I don't remember why or where. But all morning, that particular day, when they were scheduled to go somewhere and visit someone, there had been gunfire outside on the street, active gunfire, all morning long. When it was time to leave, the missionary opened the front door and said to my friend, "It's time to go." To which my friend suggested perhaps that they wait for the gunfire to stop, which is probably something that many of us would do in that situation. The missionary replied with something that stuck with my friend and has stuck with me, and he said, this is what the missionary said, "The safest place on earth for us is always when we are in the will of God." And so the missionary said, "Come on, let's go, because this is what God's calling us to." And so he walked outside amidst the gunfire, and my friend, full of fear, just kind of ran behind him the whole way and terrified. But that's a good perspective, isn't it? The safest place to be always is right smack dab in the middle of God's will. Paul's perspective in this passage also reminds me of the time, and I think I've shared this story with you before, with some of you, the time when Beverly and I were visiting New York City. Now, I've been to New York City many times, and it's very interesting and love it, and we've had great experiences. But on this particular visit, we happened to witness a mugging. And the assault happened so fast that Beverly and I, and honestly, all the people that were around there, were in shock for a minute or so. We couldn't believe that this was happening, broad daylight. Eventually, the police arrived, and Beverly and I, things got under control. The mugger ran off, and Beverly and I hopped into a taxi, all shooken up. We were terrified just because of what we had just witnessed. So we were feeling the need to process, like to verbally process what we had just seen. And so we just started talking to the taxi driver, and we told him the whole story. And then he told us a story that we'll never forget. He said that one day he picked up a man who put a gun to the back of his head, and he said, "I'm going to kill you." Our taxi driver just picked up the Bible that was on his dash. He held it up. He looked in the rearview mirror, and he said, "You may kill my body, but you cannot destroy my soul because my life belongs to God." And at that point, the guy pulled the trigger, blank went off, he jumped out of the taxi and ran off. So when our driver, Beverly and I are listening to this, like, "Where are we? We just want to go home." When our driver finished telling us the story, he grabbed the same Bible that was on his dash, and he held it up, and he looked at us in the rearview mirror, and he said, "When your life belongs to God, there's nothing to fear." It's like, amen, preacher. That was a great message. So we had gone to church in the taxi. That was amazing. Acts 20:24. "Once again, I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." I don't think that the Apostle Paul here is implying that he thought that his life was worthless. That's not what he's saying. Or that his life is not worth living. I don't think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying at all. Like the missionary and our cab driver, he knew that his life was so precious to God that God would take care of it so he could be free to live it for and with God. He considered his life of such importance that to not occupy himself fully with Christ and his mission of love was to live his life in vain. In view of all God had done for him, the Apostle Paul viewed his life as having eternal significance. Now notice Paul's single-minded focus and devotion to finishing the course and mission that he had been given from the Lord. Others had their course to follow. Paul had his. Sometimes we lose a healthy perspective when we focus more on what others are doing and we begin judging them for how well or how not they are pursuing their course. And we get distracted by that. We get jealous, envious sometimes, rather than focusing on the course that's been entrusted to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. As Aaron mentioned, again, a reminder, it's July 4th. Happy July 4th. So it's only fitting to point out that Paul was free from trying to meet the demands and the expectations of others. Why? Because he was clear and remained focused on what God was asking of him. Now, that may sound selfish at first, and when Christians only focus on themselves and their own sort of self-improvement, it can be selfish. But Paul was free to follow Christ and, as a result, serve others. Paul lived in the freedom that was his in Christ Jesus, and he did whatever he could to help others experience the same freedom by the grace of God. This verse has helped me maintain perspective over the years as I pursued faithfulness in my calling as a campus minister with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship for nearly 40 years and as one of your pastors for almost 13 years. And more importantly, as Beverly's husband. and the father of our two grown kids, Sean and Alyssa, and our soon-to-be daughter-in-law, Deanna. Acts 20, 24 has helped to remind me that my life is not mine to live however I want to live it. I belong to God. And it's only when I keep my focus on Christ and His mission for my life that I will experience the fullness of life that He intends for me and the joy of helping others experience the same. Yes? All right, that's my testimony. I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Let me just pray again. So God, we've heard your word. Your word is oftentimes pretty straightforward. It's clear. It only gets a little muddled when we try to live it out day by day. And so help us, God. Help us not just to be hearers, but understanders and doers, God, of your word, we pray. So would you continue to bless our service in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those of you who are joining us online, we're really glad that you're here and that you've joined us. Thank you. We're going to be dropping a few questions in the chat that you can use alone, or perhaps if you're watching us with other people, you can reflect on the passage and this morning's message with those that you've gathered with using the questions. So again, we want to say thanks for joining us, and God bless you. We hope to see you next week.